Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of National Board Conversations. I got another great episode in store for you. Alabama is consistently among the most engaged states with the National Board, so it felt right I speak with the 2024 Alabama Teacher of the Year, Jeff Norris.
I won't say immediately, but within a couple of months of submitting that first time, I think I was able to slow down enough to really reflect on the process and just how powerful that actual process was.
He's a National Board Certified Teacher at Oak Mountain Middle School in Birmingham, Alabama, and is a very humble character. He brings a lot of insight into what it's like to be the State Teacher of the Year. I hope you enjoyed this one as much as I did. Here's my conversation with Jeff Norris. Jeff Norris, welcome to National Board Conversations. Thank you for joining me.
Hey, you have no idea how excited I am to be here. Thanks for letting me be a part of it.
Of course, man. I remember chatting with you. My boy Zach told me to check in with you earlier. Near we checked in a little bit, and I always like you were in my plans to get you on. So again, thank you for making the time, man. I was really excited to talk to you. I'm like, people keep telling me to come to Alabama, so when I come down there, I'm gonna make sure to check in with you. Like everything, like
yeah, cool. Well, I am Alabama through and through, so you'll hear it in my voice and in my accent as I'm talking today.
Oh yeah, the accent heavy. So I love it though. I love it. All right, so let's get into it. So what is your current role, and can you give us a brief intro of yourself?
Yeah, so my name is Jeff Norris. I'm the 2024 Alabama Teacher of the Year. I do have an interesting journey through my career. This is year number 19. We have a catchphrase in our district that says prepared for the journey. And I tell people, I don't know that 19 years ago, I knew exactly what that journey would look like. But I started off as a third grade teacher and then taught fifth grade, moved into gifted education for several years, said I love being in front of people and presenting professional development. I was getting a degree in teacher leadership and was not advised, but maybe gently prodded into thinking about going into educational administration. And so for about 8.5 years, I was an assistant principal and principal. And then the most unique part of my journey was about 3 years ago, right after COVID quarantine, I decided to come back into the classroom. So I have been back teaching sixth grade this time for about 3 years, English first and then math. And then, you know, personally, I have a beautiful wife. She's also in education. And then we have two children. They are 15 and 17 years old now. And this is their first experience this school year. Is their first year not being with one of their parents inside the school building. So they feel like it's freedom for both of them this year.
Oh, man, that's definitely got to be a change for them. Like, it's change, but it's also freedom, like you said.
Yeah.
All right, so what are your three favorite foods?
Let's see. Well, I think it says something about me that all three are fast foods. So I would say we love Kentucky Fried Chicken. Anytime we can get the big family pack of KFC. This also says a lot about me, the deluxe cravings box from Taco Bell.
Okay.
And then, you know, the special Zaxby's has this Asian sensation salad that is also one of my favorites that is out right now temporarily. So every time I can go by there while I'm traveling around the state, that's kind of my favorite thing to hit up.
All right. Last three songs on your music playlist.
So we actually have this State Teachers of the Year playlist where everybody contributed a song that represents them or their life or their journey or their state. And so I was looking it up, and the three, this was a great mixture of songs. This Is Me from Greatest Showman, Take Me Home, Country Roads, and the song Center Field are the last three on that playlist.
Take Me Home, Country Roads. Stop playing. I am a West Virginia alum. That is our anthem.
Isn't that great? Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, man. I love it. All right. And then the one sports team that has your heart, and if you're not a sportsman, one movie you can recite line for line.
I'm actually both sports and movies, but I will say, being from Alabama, this is kind of a controversial answer, so I will probably feel heat from both sides. We're actually Auburn fans.
Oh.
My wife and I went for our undergraduate degrees at the University of Alabama, so we are good football watchers with any crowd, because we can be nice to both sets of people, but our heart belongs to Auburn.
Oh man, that's crazy. It's not a house divided. She went to the University of Alabama.
It's not. Yeah, thankfully we're on the same side. You're exactly, you know Alabama really well, because it can be dangerous for certain.
No, I remember. So I remember driving through Alabama once, and I saw this store. It was, I forget what it's called, but it was like literally one side was Auburn and one side was Alabama. I was like, oh my goodness, it is real down here.
You're exactly right. It's there's Tiger Pride and Bama Fever are the two sides of the same store, if that's what you're thinking.
Yep. Like, I was like, man, that was crazy. That's, oh, it was wild. It was like, it was down in Mobile. I was like, oh man, this is like really a thing. This is crazy. All right. So can you share why you became a teacher and why you remain in education? And why'd you go back to the classroom? Like, what made you decide to go to administration for a few years and then go back to the classroom?
Yeah, really, I can speak to both of those. So I think, growing up, I knew I liked everything, in all honesty. Like, I loved learning. If you talk to my teachers and my parents and my friends, like, I love learning and learning new things. And so I always loved school. I didn't have any clue what I wanted to be when I grew up. And honestly, like, coming from a small town, I knew I wanted to be successful. I knew I wanted to make a difference. I knew I wanted to do something big and bold, I thought, at least as a child. And so, you know, at that time it was, you can be a doctor or a lawyer. So I think growing up, those were my two career options coming from a small town in order to be successful. That's kind of what I viewed success as. And as I got older, I really, just felt compelled by this idea of impact that teachers have. And I think that's what appeals to me the most, is just this influence that educators have on students. And so, yeah, I have, and I continue, I think that's something I continue to see, even in the field of education, that if you want to make a difference, you still feel like there's this career path where, if I want to be an educational leader, I need to be an administrator. And I've lived that. And so I love that, you know, my part of the story is that I hope that people would say I continue to be a leader now, even more so as a classroom teacher. And I think there's power in that. And this journey as a State Teacher of the Year is definitely showing me that classroom teachers have this enormous responsibility and also this enormous influence over our field and over our kids. And so I love that now I get to navigate that part of my journey.
So what were you like as a student, and how did it impact you? How does it impact your teaching style?
I feel like you may have talked to someone from my childhood when you asked that question. I love learning. I told you that. I love things that catch my interest. I really think that I wanted to form relationships with my teachers. I think I always thought that I was on the same level as my teacher, so I wanted to have conversations with them. I wanted to, you know, for good or bad, in all honesty. And so I think that that's something I always keep in the back of my head with my students now, is number one, I want to make learning fun and learning exciting for my kids. There's a great author and speaker, Weston Kieschnick, and he talks a lot about curiosity. And he says the one question you want students to ask when they come in is like, what are we doing today? Like, that's the question you want to kind of drive their curiosity. And so I really try to plan things and keep that in the back of my head as I'm doing things in my classroom, is how can I make this engaging and exciting for my students and make them excited to come to school each day. I do think that everybody's a learner and everybody's a leader. And so when I plan things in my classroom, there are time for both of those things in my classroom, where kids can be leaders and kids can also be learners.
That's awesome. And like, it keeps, like you said, it keeps the kids engaged, and it makes sure that they're involved in all your assignments and keeps them accountable, giving them some accountability. Because a lot of like students want to be accountable, so they want to feel like they're responsible for something.
There is this the word engagement is kind of a loaded word in the field of education right now. And a lot of people think that like engagement means that the teacher needs to be like tap dancing across the front of the classroom in order to get kids interest and keep them hooked. And I've read an article recently about cognitive engagement versus behavioral engagement. And I think that's the aspect that really appeals to me, is I can get kids really curious and compel them into the classroom, get them excited about coming in. But true engagement is when we can get them really cognitively involved in a task or an assignment or you know, something that we're covering with our standards in class.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So during this Teacher of the Year assignment, you had to leave the classroom for a little bit. What's it been like?
I guess in hindsight, now I can say it. I thought it was going to be harder leaving my students than it has been. And I do, if I ever press pause on the busyness of my schedule, that's the first thing I think of, is that I miss that daily interaction with my kids. But I have, we're very lucky in Alabama, our particular program, we get a year sabbatical. And so from August to May, I am outside the classroom getting to travel around the state, you know, talk to different stakeholders, be involved in a lot of professional development is one of my passions. And so working with our state's in-service centers, and, I try to stay busy so that I don't have to press that pause button and think about my kids. So it's a bittersweet thing, because I have absolutely loved the chance and the opportunity that I've been blessed with this year to be able to experience what I've experienced, and also in some regards, getting to impact the number of people that I've been able to impact in a totally different way than I did even last year, or even as an administrator. And so I think it just is a neat. It's just been a great opportunity all the way around.
That's awesome. And we'll definitely dive into some of that a little bit later. So you're a National Board Certified Teacher. What pushed you to pursue, and what
so
was your journey like?
I'm a middle childhood generalist, and I've also maintained my certification once. And so I was back in the olden days of National Board, where we had the box, you know, You hear the fun stories, man, about the box, and those are my distinct memories that I remember. The first time I pursued National Board Certification was like buckling my box into the front seat of my car, driving it to the post office to mail it in, and handwriting. Like, we actually had to handwrite the page numbers and put our candidate number at the top of every single piece of paper, and we had to print it all. And I remember having this pile. It was like a quote unquote pile, is what we called it, that I just took around with me everywhere, because I was afraid to leave it or set it down anywhere. And so, like, it traveled with me to school. It went with me home. It went to the lunchroom with me at school. And so I just remember that piece of it as an image that sticks with me. But as far as the process goes, I think even within, I won't say immediately, but within a couple of months of submitting that first time, I think I was able to slow down enough to really reflect on the process and just how powerful that actual process was. And I was a fairly new teacher. I'd been teaching, I think at that time in our state, you had to have been, and maybe this was a national thing, you had to teach for at least 5 years before you could apply. And so I was relatively, you know, new to the field of education. And so I don't remember ever anybody talking about reflection in my undergraduate work, or even especially once you became a teacher. Like, that was just not a word we used a lot. And so the National Board process as a whole brought that to the forefront. And I think ever since then, it's just been like the primary way we learn is through reflection and through talking. I just think that's how people learn. And so in National Board's case, we can't talk as much, but we can write. And so there's that same piece of communicating and reflecting is really powerful. So I think the second time when I was able to maintain certification a couple of years ago, I was back in the classroom. It was my first year back in the classroom. And so seeing just how that process has played out, and the and you know, when you maintain certification, it's all about reflection and how you've grown. And so I think I just love that aspect of it. I think that's so important. We talk about growth with our students and setting process goals. And I think National Board certification just is the central, you know, tenet to certification.
Yeah, and I think it allows you to show your students that you're doing the reflection and the growth too, right? So they can see you along your journey, and they're like, oh, okay, so they being about it, they're not just talking about it.
That's exactly right. And I have to put a shameless plug in. You mentioned coming to Alabama. I mean, Alabama is just, they love National Board Certified Teachers, and they love on us, and they love to promote it. And they even, you know, 12, 15 years ago when I was pursuing it, there were scholarships available, and there were mentors, and all of those things that are just critical if we want if we want to continue to move forward and with this certification.
No, and it shows, and like this is a little bit of inside baseball stuff, but like doing the marketing and all of that, we don't do a lot of state specific marketing in Alabama, but they're consistently in our top five states of candidates, website views, all of that stuff. So it's like, man, you guys are really killing it down there with what's happening in the program.
Yeah, it's like kudzu. It spreads like kudzu in Alabama. It's like the ivy, you know, that spreads everywhere. So I think that happens in Alabama. You tell your neighbor who tells your neighbor who tells your neighbor. And so that kind of grassroots movement is what we're known for.
That's awesome. So how would you say being coming in NBCT impacted your career?
You know, I mentioned earlier about this idea of reflection really being a priority in my life now. And I think after 19 years, that's the word that keeps popping up more and more. And maybe it's experience looking back. But I think this idea of reflection that National Board really compels its teachers to think about and to pause and to have that opportunity is really powerful. And I think I took it from the National Board process and then applied it to every aspect of my life. So just taking those opportunities to reflect on what I'm doing and why I'm doing and who I'm doing it for really is, I think, the biggest impact it's had. Now, instructionally, you know, in the state of Alabama, I just think we are I'm so proud of our state and how we embrace our National Board certified teachers. But in fact, we actually use those five core propositions as an observation tool now in our classrooms across the state, almost as a as like a rating scale. And so we have teachers who are using this language that was created by a National Board to really drive your instruction and to drive what you do every single day. And I just think that's special. It's special about our state, but just in general that those, you know, it's even boiling it down to just those five core propositions makes that much of an impact with day-to-day instruction in our state.
Yeah, and like it, you can tell with a lot of the work that's going on and some of the stuff, again, this is an inside baseball, but you guys are continuously in our top five of states driven to the website or people on social media tagging us and all of that. Like, it's really a whole thing down there in Alabama. It's really cool to see.
It's good and bad. You know, in the South, I think news travels really fast in the South. So like from neighbor to neighbor to neighbor, we actually have, and we also have a great leader in our state department, Dr. Melissa Shields, who is the, I think, the highest ranking National Board certified teacher and as far as the State Department of Education. And so I think she and our National Board network, our state network, really they just celebrate our teachers and make it as appealing as possible because it's such an awesome thing. So shout out to her and to all our people.
Yeah, I'm trying to get her on the schedule, man. I might need your help. So we touched on it a little bit earlier. You're the Alabama State Teacher of the Year. What was your initial reaction when you learned you were named the State Teacher of the Year?
You know, even before the state announcement, I think even at the local school announcement was just a complete shock and a humbling moment. We have about 1,200 students in our school at the middle school where I am at Oak Mountain Middle School. And so I had been back in the classroom for 3 years. So a lot of my students from the first year were now in eighth grade. And so out of those, you know, 1,200 students, I had taught about a third of them. And even before that, I had been their assistant principal when they were in kindergarten, first and second grade years earlier with a lot of those students. So I'd formed these, you know, these relationships with kids. And so it was like this really outer body emotional experience when I, you know, in the moment it was just shock. And then when I started thinking about it and, you know, just kind of dwelling in that moment, it really was an emotional experience. And then, you know, we had another pep rally. And if you know anything about me, like I don't love being the center of attention anyway. Like I will make a fool out of myself in front of my kids in my classroom, but I don't love large crowds, which is, you know, can be difficult sometimes in this particular position. But I can remember we had the second pep rally when I was named the State Teacher of the Year at the school building, and the kids were like chanting my name. And you know, it has this potential to be really kind of like, you know, I can like to feel really grandiose and like I've got this title now. And at the same time, I was like, you know, this just represents the power that teachers have and the influence that teachers have. So it's not necessarily about me. It's just this, the way that, kids look up to and respect, or can look up to and respect adults in their lives. And so I really try to take everything with a grain of salt. So I don't love being introduced, you know, sometimes when I go and visit schools, and it's that moment of, you know, kind of embarrassment when they would keep, you know, introducing you as the state teacher of the year. And I tell people, you know, that doesn't mean I'm the best teacher in Alabama. In fact, that'd be kind of scary to have little Jeff Norrises running around our state. But it's, you know, it's just this chance that I have to be an advocate and a person who celebrates the teachers in our state and kind of has a voice for teachers in our state. And so that's the impression I want to leave, and also just what I want to make out of my title, I suppose.
I get it. Like, it can definitely be hard to be the center of spotlight. I tell, like, it's not for everybody. Yeah. So you touched on it a little bit. What happens after you're announced as state teacher of the year?
So two different things. You know, every state does it a little differently. And I just assumed it was the same everywhere. And very quickly you learn that different states do it different ways. And so in Alabama, you know, two different things. Number one, I really do become an ambassador for teachers in our state. And so I get a sabbatical for a year, which is really interesting because you are celebrated, you know, or honored for your achievements inside the classroom. And then immediately they kind of pull you out of the classroom. And so, but I get to go around and talk to different groups, teachers and parents and, you know, politicians sometimes and organizations. And sometimes I just get to go and visit schools and see what's going on. And then my favorite thing to do is to lead professional development. So I try to work with our state's in-service centers, different colleges and universities around our state. And so that's been a really, really exciting part of the job is getting to put my hand in like lots of different pots and find different ways to kind of, you know, make a difference in that way. And then the other aspect is this idea of being becoming part of the 2024 national cohort. So there are 55 state teachers of the year or territories and commonwealths. And so we have really gotten to know each other over the past couple of months. And that particular time period is from January to January. So it's a little different than the Alabama teacher of the year timeline. So we are actually going to Washington, D.C. at the end of this month, and they just announced that we're going to have the very first state dinner in honoring the teachers of the year while we're there at the end of the month. And black tie, you know, I get to my James Bond moment. And I have really just been enamored by meeting all these different people and the not just the talents that they have and the things that they've done in their states, but just the passion that they have and just the willingness to do whatever it takes to make a difference in kids' lives has been really exciting to be a part of.
That's awesome. So can you share some memorable experience or highlights from your time going around the state?
Yeah. So, I mean, a couple, like locally within my district, I have, you know, part of my journey is moving from administration back into the classroom. So I have this kind of passion work of empowering teachers to be teacher leaders. And our district has always had administrator academies where if teachers wanted to become administrators, they could go through this kind of cohort experience and learn how to be, you know, ready for that particular leadership position. And one of the things I really wanted to create was this teacher leader academy. So how do we create and empower teachers from their classroom to be leaders within our district and our state? And that's been one of my absolute favorite things is just getting to hear from about 25 different teachers around our district and let them talk to each other. I tell them all the time, the knowledge is in the room. So just opening up questions and getting people to share has been one of my favorite parts. I think I also mentioned, maybe I did this earlier, about I have my own podcast. And so it's something that's been brand new for me, and it's been a growth and a challenge in some ways. But I have this podcast, shameless plug, it's called The Power of a Moment. It is on YouTube and Spotify. And I've done about 7 or 8 episodes with different teachers around the state, and not just teachers, educators, some administrators, and even some retired teachers. And each episode, we changed the title from The Power of a Moment to The Power of ... whatever topic they kind of want to talk about. And so we've been able to talk about the power of movement, the power of community, the power of relationships, all kinds of really neat things. And so it's just been one other way to really celebrate some of the things that I've seen around the state and share those with other people. So that's my favorite part. And even more so, like, not the big things, is those small moments and being with kids. Like, when I get to visit a school and like read to a class, or go and sit in a music classroom, you know, and pull out the sticks and like work with a kindergarten class, and just, you know, those moments are really a lot of fun.
That's really cool, man. It's like, it's cool that you get to jump around the state and be a part of, make it like almost your own whole community. Like, the whole state is your community now, instead of just being
that aspect of high school. Yeah, that aspect of connecting people is something that I take really seriously. So how can I, you know, hear something in one corner of the state that would really impact another corner of the state? Or if a teacher's looking for a particular need, now I feel like I've got, you know, 55 other people around the nation who could be experts in some of these things. And so, yeah, I think that aspect of getting outside your four walls is really important.
Yeah, I was talking to another state teacher of the year not too long ago, and she said along the lines of, now all, like, almost all everywhere is your classroom now, right? It's like, All right, you can connect with these teachers all across the country and all these different territories. It's like, wow. It's like, it really broadened my idea to like what it actually means to go through this process, go through winning State Teacher of the Year.
Yeah, exactly.
How have you learned from your interactions with other teachers around the state?
I mean, I think exactly what we just said is that this field of education is bigger than just the four walls of a classroom. Like, I really pride myself on creating a community within my classroom. I call them the D1. We're like this is too much information. I call it the armpit of the school. Like, I'm in the front corner of the building and kind of out of the beaten path. And so, like, I could very easily just impact, you know, the kids that are within my four walls. And what I'm learning is that education is bigger than that. And somebody mentioned this at our first meeting with the State Teachers of the Year in California. They said something about, and I'm not a gardener, but they were talking about how you get plants to grow bigger, especially if they were in a particular pot. So if you imagine this kind of baby plant in a pot that you get from the store, in order for it to grow successfully, you have to put it in a bigger pot, and then eventually you have to transplant it to a bigger pot. And the whole goal here is that the roots have more room to spread out. And the analogy that they were making was that for teachers, sometimes we limit ourselves to the pot that we're in. And I think that's such a great image of, you know, that I can, and that's still important. Hear me when I say that, like, what I do with my kids within my four walls is really important. But if I truly want to grow and make a bigger impact, I have to be willing to be transplanted outside my four walls in order to stretch my roots. So I just think that's such a cool image.
Yeah, that's very powerful statement there. That's really, really cool. All right, so we're close to wrapping up here. We're going to get into some teacher recruitment.
Yeah.
If I'm giving you 1 to 2 minutes on the elevator, why would you say somebody should join the teaching profession?
You know, it's kind of what I said when I was a kid. I knew I wanted to do something that made an impact, or something that would make a difference. And I think that teaching is the one field. I tell people all the time, we're in the life-changing business. We are in a business. We're in the life-changing business. And my kids, the very first day, I tell them, you're a Norris kid. Like, and you're a Norris kid for life. Like, you will always be one of my kids. And I know this is true because I'm a Crump kid. I'm a Scruggs kid. I'm a Moody kid. These are teachers that, you know, I will forever be grateful to them for their influence on my life. And I can tell you, you know, maybe not necessarily even what they taught me academically, but the influence they had on my life is just, and it continues to make a difference in my life. And now it's like this exponential increase. Like, now I can impact more kids. And so their influence on me is now influencing. This idea of replication is just really powerful. And as a math teacher, you know, this like kind of exponential growth is really powerful, you know, like where one person affects two people and those two people go and affect other people. And there's that idea of the influence of a teacher. It's long lasting and it's bigger than we think it is. So I love that idea. And we're the one career that can really say that happens on a daily basis.
That's awesome. So we have a feature on the podcast called the shoulder tap. It's when you give a tap to on a colleague to let them know they're ready to become National Board Certified. On here, you'll give them a quick shout out and we'll encourage them to go through the process on social media. So, Jeff, who are you shoulder tapping today?
Yeah, we do this in our state too. So there, and I do it on like a daily basis, I feel like. So I am, we call them NBCT2Bs in our state. And so there are those. So we have several at our school who are already going through it. So I won't mention those, but there is a teacher about two doors down from me. She actually is good getting her alternative certification right now. Teaching is not her first career. And her name is Melinda Nichols. She teaches sixth grade social studies, and she is just a rock star. And she came mid-year last year. She's working on a certification right now, but she is somebody who naturally reflects on her craft. She really wants to make a difference in her kids' lives. She is doing all of the right things already naturally. And so I told her, you know, the next step is just this, just putting it on paper for the committee to acknowledge. Like that's all that's left for her to do. And so there are lots of rock stars around me, but she's one that I think this is her next step for sure.
I love it. I love it. All right, Melinda, you got a call out from the Alabama State Teacher of the Year. You got to do it.
That's right. That's right.
Jeff Norris, thank you for joining me on the podcast.
It's been so great. I appreciate letting me be a part of this.
Jeff is a very bright person. I had so much fun talking with him. Let me congratulate him on being named Alabama Teacher of the Year and thank him for taking the time to chat with me on the podcast. I also want to thank you for listening to this episode of National Board of Conversations. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And we'll see you next time.